Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Good morning and welcome to our service, our divine service on this, the fourth Sunday of Easter, which is also Good Shepherd Sunday. And through this Easter season, we have been hearing from 1 Peter how the resurrection of Jesus affects us. And we have looked at how the resurrection of Jesus and its benefits come to us in holy baptism, how the resurrection of Jesus claims us and ransoms us from this present age. And now this morning, we hear how Jesus' death and resurrection affect how we suffer as Christians, and how we as Christians are sheep of the Great Shepherd in the midst of our suffering. A few announcements as we begin this morning. This morning, once again, we will be receiving some new members into our membership this week, this Sunday. These will be associate members, some of our friends from Concordia St. Paul who are studying for ordained and commissioned ministry in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And for that, we rejoice with them. Please greet them if you see them in the narthex this Sunday during the fellowship time. For Bible class, we are looking at the 1 Peter readings on the sheets that are in the bulletin. And so this week we'll be looking at last week's reading sheet. And next week, although we don't have a Bible class because of the voters meeting, the following week we'll be looking at some more at 1 Peter. There's an insert in your bulletin, and we have some of the larger pages like this too, reminding you about the wonderful opportunity to worship with brothers and sisters from other circuit congregations here in the St. Paul Metro on Ascension Eve. That is Wednesday, May 17th at 6:30. We will have a festive divine service and then a dessert social downstairs afterwards. At this time, I invite you to stand as you are able, and we will begin with our processional hymn, O For a Thousand Tongues to Sing. It is hymn 528 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Thank you.
We continue with the order of confession and absolution on page 203 in the Lutheran service book. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered together to hear God's word, call on him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his only Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We continue with the Kyrie. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, merciful Father, since you have wakened from death the shepherd of your sheep, grant us your Holy Spirit that when we hear the voice of our shepherd, we may know him who calls us each by name and follow where he leads. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated for the reading.
The first reading is from Acts chapter 2. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all, as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord.
We join together in the words of the psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be for. Amen.
The epistle is from 1 Peter chapter 2. For it is a credit to you if, being aware of God, you endure pain while suffering unjustly. If you endure when you are beaten for doing wrong, what credit is that? But if you endure when you do right and suffer for it, you have God's approval. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was abused, he did not return abuse. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that, free from sins, we might live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were going astray like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. This is the word of the Lord.
Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Children, I'd invite you to come forward for the children's message. Yeah, bring both of those on up. Okay, well, just hold that for me for a second. I'll take this one first. All right, what's this? A sheep, that's right. It's a baby sheep, technically. What do we call baby sheep? Lambs, that's right. And this lamb, although I might be embarrassed if I tell you, this lamb belongs to Peter right over there. We got this for Peter. Actually, his grandparents bought this for him when he was baptized. And each one of our boys has a lamb that they got when they were baptized. And this was the one that we could find most easily this morning as we got, or last night, I guess, as we got ready for today. In our gospel reading today, Jesus says that he is our good shepherd. That means that we are his sheep. And I'm going to talk a lot more about what that means in the sermon. But I've got the sheep here. And all of us, when we are baptized into Jesus, become his sheep. We enter in his sheepfold, he said, his sheep pen, the place where the sheep are kept. We call that the church. All right, I'm going to ask you to hold this guy, Thomas. And then I've got something else here that goes with shepherd and sheep. What's this? It's a staff, and it's got a special little hook here at the top. It's called a shepherd's crook. And so the shepherd's staff and crook would have been kind of like what was used in ancient times when Jesus spoke this to his disciples. And let's pretend that sheep was wandering off. Make him wander off, Thomas. The shepherd could go and grab him and bring him back in with the rest of the sheep. If they were lining up for water or food or something and he wanted to bring him back, he could do that. Do you know what the Latin word for shepherd is? Pastor, that's right. And so we have here in our epistle reading from Peter, Peter talks about Jesus as our pastor. Did you know Jesus was your pastor? You did? Good. Okay. Sometimes we talk about the human, well, Jesus is human too, but let's say the pastors that are only human and not God, like me, we talk about them as under-shepherds, that is, shepherds who work under the great shepherd. They work for the great shepherd to help us remember who we are, that we are the baptized children of God, and always remind us of Jesus and his care for us as our shepherd. Okay, we can go back to our seats, and you can take the lamb with you, if you would, and I'll give that back to you. Thank you. Christ is risen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. 2 weeks ago, I had the joy of joining my youngest son, Thomas, with 25 of his classmates for an outdoor education camp at Camp Omega. That's the camp of our Minnesota South District. While Thomas and I agree, I think, that outdoor ed would be a lot more fun were it not in the freezing rain, we did have a good time. One of the highlights was singing during devotion time each evening, and one of everybody's favorite songs to sing, I think, from the volume was, "I Just Want to Be a Sheep." If you've never heard this song before, you're really missing out. The chorus goes like this, and you have to imagine it being sung by 26 fifth and sixth graders at the top of their lungs in a very small room. "I just want to be a sheep, ba 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 ba. I just want to be a sheep, ba 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 ba. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. I just want to be a sheep, ba 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 ba." And then there are about 14 different verses about things that you don't want to be, like a Pharisee or a Sadducee or a new one for me, a Canaanite, because they raise Cain all night. As we sang this song, a few kids probably wondered, why on earth are we singing that we're sheep? The program director of the camp, anticipating this, explained that when we as Christians say that we're sheep, We are confessing that we are completely dependent upon our Lord Jesus Christ, who tells us, "I am the good shepherd." Now, sheep, as you probably know, are not the brightest or the fiercest animals. They're not particularly adept at avoiding trouble. They're not really strong enough to scare off a predator. They're not even really able to find their own food and water, but have to be led to eat and drink. Sheep are completely dependent upon their shepherd to care for them, to protect them. And as believers, we are completely dependent upon Jesus for our righteousness before God and for our perseverance in the Christian faith. Nowhere is this more evident than when we suffer. For when we suffer, we realize that there is not much that we can really do about anything. When we suffer, we are powerless to deliver ourselves, and we must rely on Christ our God, who comes from the outside to deliver us. In our epistle reading this morning, Peter tells us how that takes place. He tells us what it means to suffer as the sheep of the Good Shepherd. First, Peter says that suffering as sheep is not suffering for personal sins. Christian suffering is not experiencing the consequences for bad things that we do. Certainly, we can suffer from sinful actions against God and against others. If we rob a bank, if we steal a car, we may suffer prison time. If we talk bad about somebody behind their back, we may suffer being isolated from them. But experiencing consequences for bad actions is not suffering as sheep of the Good Shepherd. We should not suffer because we did something wrong and then try to pass it off as suffering for being Christians. Peter says, "What credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure?" Later on in this letter, Peter gets even more specific. He says, "Don't suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or even as a meddler." That last one, a meddler, catches many of us. How many of us experience trouble of our own making when we stick our nose where it doesn't belong, and then we act as if we're being persecuted? Real Christian suffering is not the consequence of a particular sin. Instead, true Christian suffering is a trial of faith that comes to us from the outside, just as predators come after sheep. For Christian sheep, suffering, all suffering, can test our trust in the Good Shepherd. That's because we trust God's promises that nothing will ever separate us from His love in Christ, and that He works all things together for our good. It's because we believe the Word of God when it tells us that evil and suffering are wrong, and that we will be delivered from them. When we suffer, we experience the contradiction of these promises. God promises to work all things together for our good, but then when we suffer, we think, "I sure don't see how good could come from this." Suffering thus becomes an occasion for us to doubt the promises that God gives to us in His Word. Suffering presents sheep with the temptation to give up God's love for us in Christ and to stray from His sheepfold. Such suffering can come in many forms. For the Christians to whom Peter writes, and for Peter himself, suffering has taken the form of persecution. Peter writes from the city of Rome, ruled by the crazy, bloodthirsty Emperor Nero. Nero was the first of many Roman leaders to persecute the Christians. Peter tells his listeners that they will experience a fiery trial for their confession of Jesus Christ. And Nero put many Christians to death for worshiping Jesus. And one of his favorite methods was burning them alive as ambient lighting for his nighttime parties. A fiery trial indeed. The same trial, persecution, is still a white-hot reality for many Christians in our world today. In 2019, at our Synod's convention in Tampa, I heard a sermon by German pastor Gottfried Martens. And it served as a reminder that persecution is not ancient history in the church. In the midst of an influx of refugees from Iran, Pastor Martin's parish in Berlin opened their doors and their hearts to these refugees fleeing from a tyrannical regime. Through the witness and the Christian love of this congregation, many of these refugees came to know Jesus as their Savior, and they were baptized. Freed from their autocratic government's zero-tolerance policy on Christianity, these Iranians came to know the righteousness, freedom, and hope given them by the crucified and risen Jesus. And then something catastrophic happened. The German government reversed its policy on refugees. The new Christians were deported back to Iran, and their homecoming came in the form of a prison sentence. Suffering for the name of Jesus still happens today. And while the degree of suffering is nowhere close to that experienced by Christians in Iran, North Korea, Somalia, Yemen, or Pakistan, people right here in the U.S. are ridiculed or canceled for believing in Christ and sharing his good news. Maybe you have experienced this. Maybe you have lost a relationship with a friend or even a family member because you were a Christian. Maybe you fear that if you let your colleagues or your classmates know that you follow Jesus, they might reject you. Maybe people have talked bad about you behind your back or cyberbullied you for your faith in Christ. Maybe a roommate or a neighbor has laughed at you for getting up and going to church on Sunday morning. But this isn't the only suffering that we sheep experience. Persecution isn't the only thing that tries our faith in the goodness of our shepherd and that tempts us to stray. Suffering from diseases like cancer, chronic conditions, they can also test our faith. So too can suffering the mental anguish of anxiety, depression, addiction, or the enduring grief of losing someone we dearly love. All of these things can cast doubt on God's promises and cause us to wonder, is our shepherd really good? Is our shepherd really watching over us? From the time of the Old Testament down to today, many believers have asked themselves this question, even just in their minds. If God is all-powerful and all-loving, why does he let bad things happen to me? The entire book of Job is all about this one question. The prophet Habakkuk accuses God of injustice for letting the wicked live while the faithful die. And David, who wrote this 23rd Psalm that we just heard and that we're going to sing again in our hymn of the day, well, right before it, he wrote the 22nd Psalm. And in that one, he is pursued by his enemies who want to kill him, some of whom used to be his friends. David cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? God had promised David that he and his descendants would reign as kings of Israel. But now David experiences the opposite of that promise as he is chased by people who want to kill him. And this experience tries his faith in God's promise. But those words, my God, why have you forsaken me, were spoken by someone else too. They came from the lips of our Lord Jesus as he hung on the cross for us. And because of his suffering, all of us who have been marked with the cross and reborn through holy baptism into the hope of Jesus' resurrection suffer with him. As his sheep, we suffer with the good shepherd. Peter knows this because he was present when Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Peter was one of those disciples who first received that promise from Jesus. Peter knows that this promise forms the context for how Christians suffer as Jesus' sheep. And now in the midst of persecution, Peter passes that promise on to other suffering sheep. To them and to us, Peter says, suffer with the good shepherd. Don't run away and try to do it on your own. Don't stray. Stay here and suffer with the good shepherd. Learn from him how to suffer. Don't respond in kind to those who cause your suffering. Don't lash out. Don't try to get revenge. Instead, run to the good shepherd who shows you how to suffer. For to this you have been called, says Peter, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you may follow in his steps. But brothers and sisters, Jesus, our good shepherd, is not just an example for his sheep to follow. He is also the refuge and the rescuer of the suffering sheep, because he is the one who suffered for us. He is the shepherd who suffered the full consequence of our sin and the wrath of God for us sheep who strayed. He is, Peter says, Jesus himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. On the cross, Jesus suffered the full weight of all of our sins. He took upon himself all of our sufferings, and he bore all of our griefs. He did so not just to show us how to carry them, not just to make us feel better by being with us in our sorrows, though he is. He did it to do away with them. And by bursting the portals of death through his glorious resurrection, he has guaranteed us a destiny of an eternity with no more suffering ever again. For Jesus, our good shepherd, also ascended to the right hand of his Father, and he promises us that where he is, there we too will be. At God's right hand, with no more suffering, Christ is risen. Now when we suffer as the sheep of Jesus, we don't just put up with suffering. Instead, recognizing the danger present in this trial of faith, we run to our good shepherd who has laid down his life for us. We cling for dear life to his promise of resurrection. And Jesus comes to you with that promise here and now today. As you approach his table, Jesus, your good shepherd, comes to you personally in the midst of whatever it is that you suffer. He comes to you as you suffer from cancer or from any other illness. He comes into the depths of your depression, your fear of the future, your addiction to things that seek to destroy you. He comes to you as you live with the ongoing ache of losing loved ones. Your good shepherd comes to you today and he says, "Here I am. Here is my life laid down for you." And we respond, "Yes, amen. Come, Lord Jesus, our good shepherd. We do pray that you our souls would keep, for we depend on you in life and in death. We depend on you for the only true life and for victory over death. Come gather us, the sheep of your flock, the lambs of your fold, carry us home." Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Alleluia. Amen. At this time, I invite those who are joining as associate members of the congregation to please come forward. And as they come forward, these are students who are all preparing for some form of ministry ordained or commissioned in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And about a year or so ago, through a friend, I was connected with one of them on social media, and then suddenly they started coming to Jehovah, and we have been blessed with their presence. And so I ask you, beloved in the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ said to his apostles, "Whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." Lift up your hearts, therefore, to the God of grace and joyfully give answer to what I now ask you in the name of the Lord. Do you this day in the presence of God and of this congregation acknowledge the gifts that God gave you in your baptism?
Yes, I do.
Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways?
Yes, I renounce them.
Do you believe in God the Father Almighty, in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, and in the Holy Spirit?
Yes, I believe in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Do you hold all the prophetic and apostolic scriptures to be the inspired word of God, and the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church drawn from them and confessed in the Small Catechism to be faithful and true?
I do.
Do you intend to hear the Word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully?
I do, by the grace of God.
Do you intend to live according to the Word of God and in faith, word, and deed to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death?
I do, by the
Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it?
I do, by the grace of God.
Do you desire to become associate members of Jehovah Evangelical Lutheran Congregation?
I do.
Will you support the work of our gracious Lord has given this congregation with your prayers and with the gifts that God has given you?
I will.
Upon this, your confession of faith, I acknowledge publicly that you are members of the Evangelical Lutheran Church and associate members of this congregation. Continue to receive the Lord's Supper and participate with us in all the blessings of salvation that our Lord has given to his church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite the congregation to stand as we pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your great goodness in bringing these, your son and daughters, to the knowledge of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, and enabling them both with the heart to believe and with the mouth to confess his saving name. Grant that by your word and spirit they may continue steadfast in the one true faith, in the fellowship of this congregation, as together we await the day when all who have fought the good fight of faith shall receive the crown of righteousness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you now and forever. Amen. Welcome in God's name. Let's show welcome to our new associate members. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Loving Father, your Son is the great shepherd of the sheep who faithfully gathers his flock to himself in the pastures of the church. Grant us steadfast faith to hear his voice and follow him, even through the valley of the shadow of death, that we may receive our portion in his abundant life. Lord, in your mercy. Holy Father, by the work of your Spirit through the means of grace, you daily add to the number of believers. We thank you that you have brought new members and associate members and friends to your congregation here. Grant your people here at Jehovah Lutheran courageous hearts and bold tongues to proclaim your truth in our neighborhood and in our lives, trusting that you will gather yet more in keeping with your gracious will. Lord, in your mercy, Shepherd of Israel, you have clothed us with Christ's righteousness and taught us to love all that is good and beautiful and true. Bless all artists and artisans, composers and musicians, craftspeople and writers, that they may employ all their skills for your glory and in the service of the gospel, testifying to your saving death and resurrection. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you hold in your hands all the world, and you hold accountable those who would govern your people. Grant to us good government and leaders who will honor your purpose, protect your people, and serve the causes of justice, defend our liberty, and direct proceedings towards the common good. Work peace in the hearts of people at war with one another, especially in Russia and Ukraine. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Father, your wounds are our healing, and your voice is our certainty. Hear us on behalf of those who suffer in body or in mind, and to whom death draws near. We pray especially for Donna Ostenson Kiefert, Rita Galston, Paul Finnegan, George Mendoza, Sandy Quinzer, Tom Kelly, Tim Robinson, Patrick Carey, Wesley Pagel, Sean Davis, Shirley Starner, Lynn Barthel and her family, Paula Portermain, Marge and Charlie Avalis, Eric Meeson, Alita Hill, Mary Wegner, Dorothy Wegner, Bruce Wegner, Mike Wynn, Devin Parade, Jim Kinzel, Tracy Kaiser, Karen Kurgis, Stephen Weta, Marjorie Pumphrey, Sandy Tyken, Marlis Wolf, Dorothy Fox, Rafael Dallagher Perez, Marion Robinson, Larry Eisler, David Cook. Grant them healing according to your will and grace to sustain them in trouble and the sure hope of everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy, eternal God, our shepherd in life and in death, you gather the lambs of your flock into the arms of your mercy and bring them home. Comfort all Christians who mourn, and especially this day we pray, comfort Elizabeth Wegner and her family on the passing of her father, Paul Betcher. Grant them the certain hope of the resurrection to everlasting life and a joyful reunion with those we love who have died in the faith. Lord, in your mercy, all these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Thank you. Let us bless the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give to you his peace. Amen.